I thought it was very dramatized. You could tell it was made for TV, made for people in the lower 48. Didn't really portray what it would really be like to go mining down there. But interesting to see our hometown on TV. Pretty cool.
Locals tune in for the first episode of a TV show made in the Chilkat Valley. It's the KHNS News. I'm Burn Power. That story and more coming up after this news. Norwegian Cruise Lines has just announced that it plans to send a new ship, the Norwegian Jewel, to Alaska in 2012. The 2,376-passenger Norwegian Jewel will be replacing the slightly smaller Norwegian Star. The Jewel will travel from Seattle up through Ketchikan and Juneau to dock in Skagway. On December 2nd, the Skagway Borough voted to give White Pass a March 1st deadline to renegotiate their Tidelands lease. The current lease will expire on March 18, 2003, unless they renegotiate in 2011. Sublessees ADA, Petromarine, Alaska Marine Lines, and Temsco have also been notified. Borough Clerk Emily Deitch explains some of the complicated history of the Tidelands issue.
Well, the lease was originally from 1968, but basically they control land at the waterfront. They lease to sublessees. When we dissolved as a city and reincorporated as a borough, usually what happens is that you receive a portion of state land within your borough because you have become a borough. And I believe what happened was there was some sort of legal opinion in the past that said, well, if you were a city before and became a borough, you don't get this. So that's sort of the gist of the issue, is that the state doesn't want to give it to us, and we think we're entitled. They directed the manager to file an extension for submitting a legal brief, which I think is important if we want to keep the option to go to court open. They directed the manager to write a letter to White Pass requesting to audit their books. They directed the manager to write a letter to ADA requesting a discussion about renegotiating the lease after the White Pass lease is set to expire. They wanted to write a letter to White Pass telling them that they want to renegotiate the lease. And if that can't happen, they are informing White Pass that they will be open to negotiating with ADA and possibly others after the expiration date.
Skagway Borough Manager Tom Smith clarifies some of the concerns of the borough.
There's been some concern over the lease and how it pertains to potential improvements at the port there, especially the proposed gateway project, which focuses primarily on the ore dock area. And if we're going to make improvements and utilize, public resources, we certainly need to have some site control of the areas to be improved. We are going to be sending out, as Emily advised you, some letters to White Pass and ADA and so forth at the Assembly's direction. And also there will be in the next agenda a budget amendment to help cover any related legal costs. There's not a lot of argument that the port is a very key component of just about any economic development that goes on here. Our borough attorney did take some action some time ago, and to get this in front of the state, and right now we're at a point where we want to see if we can exercise, look into other possible avenues to resolve without necessarily getting into litigation. And the upshot of all of that is to ask the attorney to take action to provide us some additional time to work on possible other avenues of resolution with the state.
I've done a lot of crazy things in my day. This might be the biggest, most ambitious thing I've ever tried.
Television viewers from coast to coast turned on the Discovery Channel last Friday to watch how six Oregonians, driven to desperate measures by a sagging economy, would go about mining for gold in the great Alaska wilderness.
The day of departure dawns. Todd Hoffman and his crew of wannabe miners are about to head off for Alaska.
We're back on schedule now. Everything's loaded up, tied down, ready to go.
Viewers in Haines, though, were watching the program with a much more critical eye.
It was an amazing journey. I didn't think we were going to make it.
Amazing journey from where? From Sandy to Seattle?
Yeah.
The Chilkat Valley is the film location for the channel's newest series, Gold Rush Alaska.
And see those trees right there? There's the town of Fort Grant out there.
The documentary series premiered Friday night on television sets from New York City to the Pioneer Bar in Haines, where a group of locals sat to take notes on the show they watched being filmed over the past summer.
With guns and God.
They must have some money through the hall.
They unloaded a lot of stuff out at the barge site, big time.
Did they? They're not hurting too bad, huh?
No, they weren't hurting at all. They had a huge generator and a great big Connex. They had they had a ton of stuff. Like two or three dump trucks. And
producers were no doubt fishing for impressed gasps from audiences by offering a cunning combination of doomsday narration, dramatic scene choices, and little details like an arsenal of 45 guns and 180 boxes of ammunition.
I could have killed somebody. Hey, you shut up. You don't talk like that. You don't talk like that. Go over there. You don't talk like that.
The last thing the families need is a reminder of just how dangerous this mining expedition will be.
All of a sudden, it's become very real. You see the chain break, and you're like, oh my God, my worst fear is someone's going to get their head blown off.
Despite their narrow escape, the crew still needs to work fast and hard to get the equipment loaded.
Rather, it was giggles across the bar in Haines Friday night when the miners made crossing the steel bridge at Porcupine look like an excruciatingly dangerous feat. They had to, viewers said, because a true reality show on the Porcupine Bridge wouldn't be that exciting.
But the Porcupine Piper did that, and they made him go across the bridge like four different times and slow down, and then he had to get on the radio and say, the bridge is about to break, or something like that, you know what I mean? The Porcupine Bridge, man.
And horrified looks when the mining crew drove a 100,000-pound excavator through the Glahini River. The act led to a series of complaint calls to the Wildlife Trooper and Fish and Game Habitat Division. Officials say the crossing was permitted, but the details of whether the permit rules were followed is still unclear.
I just want to get it across.
The springtime temperature of the Glahini River is only 41 degrees.
But reviews from the outside say the show was a hit. With 2 million viewers during the show's premiere on Friday, December 3rd, it's the number one nonfiction primetime program. Back in Haines, the show was not exactly striking it rich with the locals.
I thought it was very dramatized. You could tell it was made for TV, made for people in the lower 48. Didn't really portray what it would really be like to go mining out there. But interesting to see our hometown on TV. It's pretty cool.
But many viewers still said they'd tune in again.
I thought it was okay. It's nice to see the whole atmosphere around here.
The next episode of Gold Rush Alaska airs this Friday at 6 p.m. on the Discovery Channel.
Excavators, you know, if we don't get that thing across, it really is going to severely affect us, maybe to the point that we have to just give it up.
the 400.
If you have something to share about the filming or the watching of Gold Rush Alaska, save it for next Thursday, when it's the subject of KHNS's very own public affairs talk show. Host Deborah Schnabel invites callers to phone into the show to share their piece. Talk Around Town is Thursday, December 16th at 10 a.m.
This is Burn Power and Tara Bicknell for KHNS News.